Today, we're going to look a bit at the second coming. Matthew chapter 24, of course, as you know, is a second coming chapter. I preached a lot from it over the years. It gives certain signs that will take place before the Lord comes. And we've looked at verses 1 through verse 35 a lot in preaching over the years. But that's not what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at verses 36 through verse 51. And I'm going to entitle this message today, The Importance of Being Ready. The importance of being ready. And that's the theme of verse 36 through 51. We've looked at the second coming up through verses 1 through verse 35 in the past and looked at certain details about the Lord's coming. But in these latter stages of the chapter, the way it closes out the chapter is to show you the great importance of always being ready. And that's the purpose of the message. The design of the message is that you might get ready. If you're here today and not ready, my desire of this text is that you might get ready. If you're here today and you're living like you might have made a profession of faith, but you're living a life that is worldly, it's time to get your life straightened out. And I hope that this message, through the power of the Spirit, does all of those things. The importance of being ready is the title of our text. And it gives you the first reason why it's important to be ready, and it's given to us in verse 36. Notice what it says. But of that day, talking about the second coming, of that day and hour, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. What does that say? No one knows when He's coming. That's why you always must be what then? If you don't know when He's coming, if you know He's coming, but at the same time you don't know when He's coming, that shows you how important it is then to always be what? Always be ready. He could come. Now, just to be honest with you, it's almost 11:20. He could come at 11:30 today. There's nothing left that has to happen. The Master could come at any time. This could be the day that the Father looks over at His Son and says, Son, go get your people. Get your people out of there. This is it. Go and get them out. It could happen 11:30. And if it did happen 11:30 today, can I ask you a question? Are you ready? Well, no one knows the day and the time. They say, well, Jeff, he might come 1,000 years from now. Well, you may be right, but you'd still be dead, wouldn't you? You'd still be dead, though. I mean, if Christ don't come within your lifetime, there's another unexpected day that's going to happen in your life that you don't know. You don't know when you're going to die, do you? So that means you always go back to the title of our message. That's why you always have to be what? Ready. Be prepared. Be prepared for death. Be prepared for His precious coming. And if it was at 11:30 today, this is my question to you. Are you ready? Do you realize He's coming and have you prepared for it? This verse is why you should never buy a book of someone that writes down that Jesus is coming on April the 4th at 7 o'clock. I don't know why anybody buys these people's books that does such things, because you got the main book that already tells you no one knows when. Hey, folks, nobody knows the day, the time, or the year. That's why you always, always must be ready. In Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to read this to you. This is another sermon, but it's the parable of the 10 virgins. I've used this many times, and the parable of the 10 virgins is an illustration of the second coming, and it uses a Jewish wedding, Jewish wedding as an illustration of Christ's coming. Jewish wedding was a whole lot different than our weddings, but the focus of a wedding that I do, you know what the focus of it is? The coming in of the bride. Oh my, that's the most dramatic part of the thing. We get all of us men get in here. We're standing up here. People don't really care. You know it. And we're all standing up here, you know. All of a sudden, buddy, that piano hits and those back doors swing open. And in comes the bride and everybody stands up. No one stood up when we come in. She is the focal point. In a Jewish wedding, it wasn't the bride that was the focal point. It was the bridegroom. It was the bridegroom. You never knew when the bridegroom was coming. Well, what happened is in a Jewish wedding, they would have a marriage feast that would be set. And then often the man would, what he would do, the boy, he would build a place, a dwelling for him and his bride. And then there would be a time that he would go in a procession with his friends, and they'd be playing musical instruments. It'd be like a parade, buddy. And he would go into wherever her house was at, and there was a shout that would go up that would say, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." That meant you best be ready. And what would happen, you'd often have women, attendants, virgins, that would carry lamps. If he would come at night, what they'd do, Brother Raines, if he's coming at night, they would open the door, and they'd line up, and they'd light the way for him to go in and get her. Take her out, and they'd go into the marriage feast and celebrate. Well, in Matthew 25, that's used as an illustration of the second coming. We're waiting today on the coming, folks, of the bridegroom. That's what we're waiting on. It could come today. But the focus of the parable of the 10 virgins is on the 10 virgins. It says that 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. And the reason why the 5 of them were wise is because they had lamps like they were supposed to in case the bridegroom came at night. They had lamps, but they had oil in their lamps. They sure did. They were ready. If he came at night, buddy, all they had to do is light him and light the way. But you had 5 foolish ones over here too. They had lamps, but they didn't have any oil. What were they thinking? They knew the bridegroom could come at any time, and they knew they always needed to be ready. But folks, they never had no oil in their lamps. I don't imagine there's anyone here today that don't believe in the second coming. You may not. I mean, there may be some that don't. But by far, most people that I come into contact really believe that Jesus is coming. But 5 of them, but most people, you're either today like those 5 wise virgins that's got their lamps and they're ready to go, or you're like those 5 foolish that know the Lord's coming, but you've never got yourself ready. Which one are you the most like today? The 5 wise? Why were they foolish? Why were they called foolish? They knowed the bridegroom could come at any time. They had that knowledge, but at the same time, they had never gotten ready. They had never prepared themselves. They had the same knowledge that these other 5 had. They all, 10 of them, knew the bridegroom was coming. But what was the difference? These 5 prepared. These other 5 did not. What's the title of the message today? Are you ready? Are you ready? The importance of being ready. Well, since we don't know when the bridegroom comes, I can't tell you that Jesus is going to come today at 11:30. But I can tell you He could. I just know He's coming. And you know something else I know? I know I got oil in my lamp. And I'm ready to meet the King. Are you ready to meet the King? Have you oil in your lamp? Man, I pray that you are. Or are you as the 5 foolish? No, He's coming. But have never prepared yourself. Okay. Well, I haven't even started preaching yet. It's come down to the embodiment of the message. Having established in verse 36 that no one knows a day or time, he goes on in the remaining part of the verses and uses 4 illustrations to illustrate for you how that you never know when he's coming, and to illustrate how many will be caught unexpected. He gives you 4 illustrations, and that's what I'm going to do this morning in the message. 4 illustrations of the second coming, how it's going to be. How it's going to be the day that Jesus comes. How people's going to respond, and so on. Let's go ahead and look at it. All right, the first illustration to show you that He could come at any time, and that no one knows when and the time, is the illustration of Noah. Look at verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So he illustrates the second coming and the destruction, the future destruction of the earth with Noah. So there's an illustration, there's a parallel between Noah's flood, so to speak, or the time of Noah, and the time of the second coming. He draws them both together. All right, now let's go on. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. What else does it say? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew not until the flood came. Everybody see that? They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, the Lord's already destroyed this world once. He destroyed it by water. All kinds of evidence of that. All those fossils you young people find, that came from the flood. They find that I used to have a piece of sea coil or coral over in the office. I don't know if it's still over or not. And someone took that off the top of Seneca rock cliffs. You said, "For what's sea coral doing up there? What walked up there?" No, the flood caused it. The flood caused all these things. The Grand Canyon was caused by the flood. That's what caused. There's ample evidence of the flood. And every time you find a fossil, that's another evidence of the flood. But the greatest evidence of the flood is the book of Genesis 6 through 9. The Bible says there's a worldwide flood, and guess what? There was. So he was going to destroy the world by water. Well, he instructed Noah to build an ark. A place of safety and a place of salvation for him and his family. And you know, he commenced to doing that. He started, it took him 120 years, most people think. Can you imagine people probably thought Noah was a nut? It hadn't even rained yet. And here he's constructing this huge vessel. It's about a 900 feet long vessel. He was constructing all of that, you know, building that. And people was wondering, what are you doing? How are you going to get that thing to water? Well, he began to construct and build. You know, the book of Peter says that Noah was also a preacher. Anybody knows whenever you build something, it draws a crowd, doesn't it? If you would take a man and he'd start building a 900 and some foot long boat, would you think he'd draw attention? Boy, as he began to prepare, he would be building. He said, "Now, folks, God told me to construct this ark because he's going to destroy the world. You need to repent of your sin and get in. You need to repent and get in." That's what he did. And he did that for a period of time. But you know what happened? There was a time frame of 120 years went by, and then one day God said, "Noah, get in. Get in the ark." The Bible says that Noah got in the ark, and what else it said that he did? It says the Lord shut the door. Once he got in, the door was shut, and it never opened for another year later, and that's when Noah come out. So he shut the door there. Everybody see that? He shut the door. Once he was safe, the door was shut. Very important for you to see that. Well, what were people doing? Well, it says that they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. You know, folks, that's normal daily routine. It was just, listen, it was just like any other. The day that the rain started and the fountains of the deep broke up, Timmy, it was just like any other normal day. Sun came up perhaps maybe early in the morning or whatever. And then all of a sudden the clouds rolled in. People were eating breakfast, and or maybe they were eating their supper, or maybe they was out planting in their field, or maybe they was over here building a new home or whatever. Their normal day, there was somebody getting married on that day. Everybody was carrying about their life at its normal, just like any other day, they thought. But you know, they were wrong. It started to rain. The fountains of the deep and the flood came and washed them all away. You know, I thought it's kind of similar, not in nowhere near the scale of the Noah's flood, but the tsunami that happened here just about a year and a half ago is similar. People were on vacation. People were eating their dinners. People were having their cookouts. People were on the beach sunning. People were just out, it just looked like another day, didn't it? Just another day. And all of a sudden they looked out and here come those waves in. And it hit them. And they weren't ready. They weren't prepared. No one was prepared. That's the way the second coming is going to be, folks. The trumpet of God will sound. And King Jesus will step out. And he'll, from one end of earth to the other, gather together all of his people in the clouds of heaven and take us out of here. And then he'll rain down destruction upon this earth. And many will never know what's happened until it hit them. They probably heard about it. They've sat in services before where preachers had preached about it. But at the same time, they weren't expecting it. Just another day. And it overtook them. Are you like that? If it would be today, would it overtake you as the flood did the people of Noah's day? You reckon maybe some of them planned on getting in that ark later? Oh, what I'm going to do, I'm going to wait till just right before time, and then I'm going to get in. And the chance was never come to pass that they had that opportunity. Only 8 people were prepared and in the ark. Folks, today God's again one day going to destroy this earth. And you know He's built another ark. That ark is Jesus. And you need to get in. You need to trust Jesus. That's why Jesus came 2,000 years ago. His only place of safety is Jesus Christ. And by trusting His shed blood. Are you in the ark today? You know you should. You plan on one day? Man, if you believe He's coming, you need to be ready. Because that day will catch people unexpected. Well, I want to show you something here, and I think it's important. Something bothering me. Can I share it with you? Something bothers me about the second coming. And I've made more people mad over this, I think, than any other. I don't know why people get so mad at me, sweet as I am. But over the second coming, people get so aggravated at me. And it's because of a statement I make. And here's my statement. I say, when Christ comes, the door's shut. And man, people's got mad at me more. I think people are deceived into thinking that, well, if He does come, I'll get ready after He comes. This movie Left Behind depicts that. I'm totally against that movie. If you just, you know, I've watched it. I've showed it to the young people and it confused them to death because they've never been taught that view. Here you have a picture of Jesus coming. First of all, no one knows what's happened. Well, I think when Jesus comes, everybody's going to know it. That's going to cause attention. He's coming with a shout. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Dead in Christ shall rise first. Man, it's going to be something that's noisy. It's going to be like the Feast of Trumpets. It's going to be noisy the day that King Jesus comes. It's going to draw some attention. But in that particular movie, it depicts people being saved after the second coming. Here they're left behind. Then they still got the opportunity to get things right with God. I don't find that in Scripture. As in the days of Noah, well, there was a period of time, 120 years. That was the day of salvation. Noah preached. You had the opportunity during that 120-year frame to repent. But there came a day that the Master said, that's it. Noah, get in. Put your family in. And it says that the moment that Noah got in the ark, what does it say happened? The door was shut. Preachers sometimes like to depict people floating over and beating on the door. I don't know whether they did that or not. The Bible don't tell you. You can't add dramatics to it to try to draw people. That's what they do. But I can guarantee you what, if there's anybody that saw that ark, they wanted in. But it was too late. The door was shut. Who shut the door? Anybody remember? God shut it. That was it. Noah didn't shut it. God shut it and sealed it. And it was done. And it never opened back up for a year later. There wasn't no one saved after the king come and after Noah was safe. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. King Jesus will come just like then. And He'll get all of His people out here safe. Turn to the book of Isaiah 26. I'll give you an Old Testament picture of it that maybe a lot of times you don't hear. Keep your place in Matthew 24. You say, well, preacher, why are you saying all that? I want you to get ready today. I don't want you to think there's an opportunity after the second coming, because there's not. The Bible don't convey that. After God's people were safe in the time of Noah, there wasn't another opportunity for them. That day was done. Once God's people were safe. Do you see the picture? Verse 19 of Isaiah 26. Thy dead men shall live. That's talking about the resurrection. Thy dead men shall live. With my dead body shall they arise. Wake with and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for the dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. We're waiting. That's going to happen on the day of the second coming. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now notice verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Shut the doors about thee and hide thyself as it were for a moment, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For the Lord shall come out of his place. For all the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. That's a picture of the second coming. Oh my, that's what he did for Noah, didn't he? He said, Noah, you got an ark here. You go ahead and you get in. And what did he do? Shut the door. That's the way the second coming is going to be. He's going to come and he's going to say, come, my children. I got you a chamber waiting on you. You know what that chamber is? That's the Father's house. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. You come and you abide here until my wrath is overpassed. Oh, if Jesus would come today, well, we would be safe. Aren't you glad? He'd take us out of here. That's what he did for Noah. But once he takes us out, there is no salvation. Matthew chapter 25. Why am I saying it? So you need to be saved today. These movies are giving people a false impression. How many people do you know? Well, if he comes today, I'll just go ahead and get ready after he comes. Be like saying to Noah, well, you know, if it starts raining, I'll go ahead and get in the ark then. It took a week for it to start raining. Noah got in the ark one day, and a week later is when it started raining. You needed to get in before it started. You needed to get back in here a week earlier. Because once God shuts the door is shut. Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. Remember, we done used it as an illustration once. But watch this now. Verse 10. While they went to buy, this is the five foolish virgins, went to buy oil because the king was coming. The bridegroom has come, and he's done come to get his bride. And it says, while they came, it says, and they were ready, they that were ready went with them to the marriage, and the door was what? Door was shut. Did everybody see it? Once the bridegroom came and got his bride, and they went to the marriage feast, which is a picture of heaven. What does it say about the door? Door shut. Just like in the days of Noah. And afterwards, the other virgins came and said, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I'm telling you, folks, the parable of the 10 virgins, just about anybody will tell you that's a picture of the second coming. And once he comes and gets his bride, the door is shut, just like in the days of Noah. You say, well, preacher, why are you saying that? It's too late. I'm telling you, people think they can get saved after the coming. It's deception. The devil wants you to think that. You need to get ready today. You need to get in the ark while the door is open. The Bible says, now is accepted time. Behold, the day is the day of salvation. You've never trusted. If you really believe Jesus is coming, and you've never been saved, well, folks, today's the day. That's illustration number one. Let's look at illustration number two. Everybody understand the first one? Just like in Noah's day, boy, it overtook them unexpectedly. They were living life at its daily normal pace, and then it hit them. Verse 40 and 41 says, there shall be two in the field. One shall be taken, and the other will be left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. There's an illustration. These are daily duties. People, on the day that Jesus comes again, you know, there'll be people at work. Just like any other day for them. They'll be at work and there'll be two people sitting here, you know, maybe grinding meal, or there'll be people working in the field. There'll be people on my loading. If the Lord will come, there'll be people on the loading dock where I work at. But when the King comes, they'll be doing their daily duties. Just like any other day, they'll be going to work. But can you picture this in your mind? Here you have people, they'll be on a job and maybe have three or four men here, and you have three of them that's lost, and there's one saved man, all of a sudden he's out of here. He's gone. Oh, you might have someone down here working in their garden. There'll be three of them, three people sitting there working, you know, in their garden. All of a sudden they look up, and here's two saved men and one lost, and they're two saved, and they're gone. He takes his people out. And it'll be a time of separation. Can you imagine? I think one of the things that I'm most thankful for in the world, if Jesus would come there in my house, all four of us will go up. But I couldn't imagine to be in a house where you'd be left behind. It's a time of separation. Be a time of separation. I mean, there'll be households where maybe both parents are unsaved, and maybe the teenager is saved, and they'll go out, and both parents will be left. It's a time of separation. They'll be doing about their daily duties, their daily tasks, but some are ready, some are not. Some go out, and some stay. Why do they stay, Jip? They're not ready. They've never trusted the Messiah. They've never trusted King Jesus. The illustration of daily duty shows the separation will happen. Everybody will be doing all the carpenters will be out doing their carpeting. The mechanics will be doing all their mechanicking. And people will be doing all the things that they normally do on any given day. But He will call His people out. Jesus will come today. Would you be left behind? I couldn't imagine anyone. I couldn't imagine how it would feel to see the King come and take His people out and then you be left behind. Look at Matthew 24, says all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of Him. He says, why will they mourn? Because they know He's come and they know they're not ready. Number three, third illustration, the illustration of the thief. Illustration of the thief. Notice what it says in verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man comes. You know, if I had it on good authority, if I come to you today and I'd say, you know, I'm in touch with undercover people, and I'd come up and I'd say, brother, I'm not. I'm just giving you an illustration. Don't go over and say, pastor said he's in touch with undercover people. Don't misunderstand. But if I was and I come to you and I said, now, I've got good authority here. I'm telling you, this is good authority. We got a thieving ring going on here in Putnam County. And Brother Coy, your house is it tonight. Now, if you knew that, if you really, and it come from a credible person that told you, and they said, tonight's tonight for you, buddy. They're going to hit your house tonight. What would you do today? Don't say, I know what you're saying. Lock and load is what a lot of you do. You be ready. You be ready. You call the police. You'd bring in the police, or you would set a watch. You'd lock your doors. You'd be at the window. You wouldn't be sleeping. You know what you'd be? You wouldn't have your night clothes on. You'd have your boots on. You'd be ready. You would be. Would you not? If you knew, Gary, tell us if you knew that a thief was going to hit your house, would you be ready? Does everybody in the house agree with me? If you knew for a fact that a thief was hitting your house, would you get ready? Every one of us would. There's not a person in this congregation today that if a thief was going to hit their house, would not prepare for it. Something greater is going to happen. King Jesus is coming. For crying out loud, if you prepare for a thief that's getting ready to tear, to steal your material things, why would you not prepare for the coming of Christ and the salvation of your soul? Which is greater? The loss of your material things or the loss of your soul? You're an eternal being created in the image of God. You're not going to live. We're going to live an average of 70 years here. But you're eternal. You're going to go out to an eternity one day. You need to be ready for that. I want to be ready for eternity. Matthew 16 says, what is the profit if a man gain the whole world, but he lose his own soul? If you prepare, if a thief was going to rob you, Coy, why would you not prepare for the King coming? That's why it uses this illustration. And what's the name of our sermon? The importance of being ready. Last illustration. And I'll be done. See, I'm not going to wear you out. I don't guess. Never know what's going to happen in this message. Illustration number 4. Illustration of servants. It says in verse 45, who then is a faithful and a wise servant? You know, if you're here today and saved, you're God's servant. That's just not true of preachers. That's true of every blood-bought child of God. You're God's servant. What's a servant supposed to do? Expected to serve. And you will be accountable for the life that you live for the Lord after that you're saved. Do you agree? And as we said in times past, we want to be faithful. We want to bring glory, honor, and praise to the name of our King with our lives. So we'll get saved? No. Because we are saved. Because we are saved. Okay? Well, describe servants here. And here it says there's two servants. There's a wise servant that's described. But then there's an evil servant that describes. You know, folks, I believe God has some good people still left here on this earth. Good, faithful servants. Thank God for them. But I also believe that there is people on this earth today that have professed faith in Jesus Christ, but they're evil servants. They're evil servants. They're not serving the Lord at all and have no desire to, and never did. And I think these people are described. If Jesus would come today, there'll be, of course, there'll be those that are unbelieving, but there will also be the people that have professed faith in Christ that are ungodly and immoral and look and act and speak like the world does. Evil servants. Got a profession, but the profession never changed their life. Do you know anybody that way? They made a profession 25 years ago and walked to the front of the church and made a profession of faith, but in that 25 years, they're still conducting themselves as they did the day before their profession. Have no desire to pray, no desire to witness for Christ, no desire to come to His house, no desire to praise Him or serve Him. Folks, there's something wrong when that's happened. Salvation is a new birth. Change. Lord, when the Master saves you, He changes your life. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. But there'll be a lot of people the day that Jesus comes that will be found of being evil servants. Let's go ahead and look at this. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household and give him his meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. I want to be found about the Master's business. I hope I'm a preaching when He comes. Or a praying or a studying or doing something for Him when He comes. I want to be found about His Word. See? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when He comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say that He shall make him ruler over all of his goods. He'll reward him. I want to be a faithful servant. I just don't want to be a servant. I think that's what we've done in 2006. If we've made Jesus just a fire escape, you run up this fire escape, just say you believe and ask Him in your heart and everything's fine and peachy. You go ahead and do anything you want to. That's what we've done. That's the attitude we conveyed to people. We failed to preach on repentance and faith. We really have. My friend, salvation is a change of life. It's a heart change. It results in a change of conduct. Salvation is called a new birth. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Well, here's another set of servants here. Let's go ahead and look at them. But if that evil servant, verse 47, verily I say that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods, But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays in coming, he shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and he'll eat and drink with the drunken. And Lord, that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and he will cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What kind of servant are you? What kind of servant are you? There's a lot of people who make professions of faith today that never have changed. The world knows it. They run with the drunkens and the riffraff of the world. Same habits, same lifestyle, same talk, same old filthy talk, same old filthy habits. But they got a profession. It's an evil servant that doesn't change. It's a dead faith that doesn't change it. I don't know. We just don't seem we should ever question anything. The Bible says you're to make your election and your calling sure. If you look at your life and you made a profession and it never changed you, there's something wrong with it. Ah, Pastor, you shouldn't judge. You've got to know whether you're saved or not. You've got to know whether you're born again or not. Hardest funeral services I ever do is someone that made a profession of faith 30 years ago and in that 30 years have never showed no desire to serve the King. I hate doing those. Because at least you just really don't know. It didn't change their profession. Didn't change them. They never showed no love for the Lord. They didn't show no evidence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. I hate doing those. I hate. When Jesus comes again, there'll be servants like that. There'll be servants that have been serving Him and love Him and evidence of changed life. But there'll also be people that have made professions that never showed no desire to serve Him. Evil servants. And it says, I'll appoint them their portion with the hypocrites. Is there hypocrites? Always have been. And always will be. Jesus had 12 disciples and one of them was a hypocrite. Judas. People say all the time, oh, the church is filled with hypocrites. Is that the reason why you don't trust the Messiah? Because of all the hypocrites? You know, those hypocrites will answer for what they've done. But you know something else? So will you. You don't answer for the hypocrites. You answer for you. When I stand before the King, I'm answering for Jeff. I'm not answering for Coy or for anyone else. You need to be ready. You need to be ready. Four illustrations. Four illustrations. Jesus would come today, would you be like the people in Noah's day that it overtook them and they were outside the place of safety? Would you be like those that's going to work and doing their daily chores and duties, the daily grind, and then you would be left behind while a fellow worker would be taken? Would it be Would you prepare for a thief that would steal your material things but not prepare for Christ's coming and lose your own soul? What kind of servant are you? Did your profession change you? Did your profession change you? Do you have a dead faith or a living faith? You need to examine that and make sure of your salvation. You might be here today and say, Jeff, I don't know whether I've been saved or not. Get saved today. Lord, I don't know whether I've been saved or not. I don't know whether I'm ready or not. But I do know one thing, I want to be. Well, you can't be. If you'll repent of your sin and trust Christ, say, Jeff, how do you get ready? I'll use one more and final illustration. There is a lot of different kinds of denominations and churches, and that confuses people. This one has this way and this one has that way. And it confuses people to death. And there's a lot of people that are confused. Well, Jesus saved. One of the most focal points in history is when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus chose that when He died on the cross to picture for you how a man saved. You don't have to have a degree in theology to see what I'm sharing with you. You can go and drive up through West Virginia and see those three crosses. And, of course, Jesus, the middle cross represents Christ, and you have two other crosses. There's two thieves that died on each side of Christ. But in that process of 6 hours that Jesus hung there, Jesus saved one of those men. He saved him. Well, and the reason why He chose that time is so you could look at that and say, that's how the Lord saves a sinner, like that. Well, the Bible tells us in the beginning both thieves mocked Christ and made fun of Him. But after a few hours, something drastic happened to the heart of one of those old boys. And he looked over at he began to rebuke the other thief for making fun of Christ. And he said, "We deserve what's happened to us. This man's done nothing wrong." Can you imagine what everybody did? Like, what's got into you? That's repentance. He began to be sorry for what he was and who he was. He began to be sorry for his sin. That's called conviction. Conviction. We call it the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. He can do that, can he not? And he began to realize that he was about to die and go out into an eternity lost. And he looks over Christ and he said, "Lord, I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom." So not only did he repent of his sin, was sorry for his sin, but he turns over and he looks at Christ and he calls upon Jesus' name. He realized there was a life after this one, didn't he? He realized Jesus had a kingdom. Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You know what else the Bible says that the thief said? Nothing. He said, "Well, why is that important?" He didn't look at him and say, "Well, that's too simple. Surely it has to be more to it than that." No, it's not. You repent of your sin. You repent of your sin. And you call upon Jesus and trust His sacrificial death. He'll save your soul, and you'll be ready. Is that too simple for you? Was it the thief's good works that took him to heaven? Was it his baptism? Was it his keeping of the law? What took that thief to heaven was Jesus. So what about that man's sin? Jesus paid for him. What about righteousness? See, Jesus gave him His. And that's how the Lord saves you. You know why I'm going to heaven? Because of Jesus. Period. See, what about your sin? Jesus paid for it. What about righteousness? Jesus gave me His. That's what it means to be saved. I'll do the same for you today. We used to sing an old song here years ago. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you?